surge illuminare Jerusalem. Rise up in splendor, O Jerusalem. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, the word epiphany comes from the Greek epiphaneia, to appear or to shine, or in this case, to manifest. In the early church, the birth of Christ was celebrated on the Feast of Epiphany, a feast that is much older than Christmas. Today, the Feast of Epiphany occupies the place of a second Christmas. More properly, Epiphany completes the Christmas solemnities. Christ entered the world in the silence of the night as an insignificant child born in a stable. At Epiphany, his identity is revealed, and he appears now in his majesty and royal splendor. By his passion and resurrection, he has entered into his glory. That is, his humanity is raised to the position of Lord and King of all creation. As ruler and as king, he enters today into his city, that is us, mankind, the church, and celebrates the triumph of his omnipotent and majestic love for men. It is the marriage feast of Christ and his bride, the church. The wise men from the east are present, representing the Gentiles whom he has invited into his kingdom. We should all participate in this splendid feast. The way to the eternal feast in heaven is through the Eucharistic banquet, which we now enjoy each day in the church. This is why we celebrate not one, but three manifestations of the divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as Son of God and Lord of heaven and earth. Besides the adoration of our Lord by the Magi, we commemorate the baptism of our Lord in the Jordan by St. John the Baptist, and the miracle of the changing of the water into wine at the wedding feast at Cana. The Magi were led to Bethlehem by a star that rose in the sky in fulfillment of the prophecy of Balaam recorded in the book of Numbers. At the river Jordan, a dove appeared from heaven, symbolizing the Holy Spirit, and rested upon our Lord. At Cana, Jesus turned the water into wine, bringing to amazement those around him. All three events happened before our Lord's public ministry, and all three manifested the full majesty of the divinity of our Lord alongside his humanity. All three of these events were made part of this feast day by Holy Mother Church. Like the shepherds and the Magi today, let us also recognize who we are to honor, who was born to us on Christmas Day, and who is made manifest to us today in the manger. The Feast of Epiphany is a mystical betrothal, and for this reason the Church sings the song of the bride today at Matins. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and with the robe of justice he hath covered me, as a bridegroom decked with a crown, and as a bride adorned with her jewels. Here is the mystery of the church, the mystery of human life, and the secret of human greatness. The church, and we ourselves with her, are caught up into a vital and mystical union with Christ. We, together with Christ, form the whole Christ through a holy betrothal. The union of Christ with his members surpasses every earthly union as heaven surpasses earth. Christ and his church, Christ and his members live one and the same life. What a marvelous grace this is. How sublime is our destiny. Gaudens Gaudebo, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God. I have been united to the life and the person of Christ in the church and through the church. Lift up thy eyes round about and see. Understand this mystery. It is Christ who lives and works in the church. His divine spirit animates and joins the souls of all believers to himself. It is his spirit which is the principle of life in the church, which makes it one living organism, and which makes the redemption of mankind effective. The church is Christ himself. She is the real manifestation of his divinity on earth. The church is not a mere mediator between Christ and the soul, not a mere intermediary between God and man. The church is the form in which Christ the mediator and redeemer draws near to men and accomplishes his work of redemption. The church is the ever-present epiphany, the abiding presence of Christ on earth. The church can no more be separated from Christ, from his spirit and his person, than a living body can be separated from its soul. In spite of her earthly appearance, she is elevated into the sphere of divine being. In her works, we recognize the priesthood of Christ, the truth of Christ, the grace of Christ, the power and authority of Christ. He that heareth you, heareth me, said our Lord. We live in preoccupying times in our church and society. We have much cause to worry in the future of our children, our families, and our nation. However, God has not abandoned us. His presence here on earth is our greatest consolation. We have no reason to be envious of the shepherds or the magi, because this same God who was adorned in a manger, who was adored in a manger in Bethlehem more than 2,000 years ago, can be adored during the Mass at the consecration. The same God can be adored in the monstrance during Holy Hour. Like the Magi who set out immediately upon seeing the star in the east, let us also banish all doubt from our minds about the journey we have to undertake. When his star appears in the height of our souls, in the form of an inspiration for our duty of state, let us give of ourselves with an ever greater generosity and thereby grow into a life of greater union with him. Let us follow the example of the Magi and see that if the star has disappeared, then we are not in a state of grace, as when the Magi went to Jerusalem to see the King Herod. If we return to a state of grace, as when the Magi left Herod, then the guiding star will be visible again. These moments of darkness are moments to exercise the virtue of faith and return to a state of grace by returning to the practice of a good sacramental life, starting with the sacrament of confession. Then we can accompany the Magi to the manger and give him our own gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold of our faith and devotion, the incense of our veneration and adoration, the myrrh of our willingness to accept all manner of discomfort, sacrifice, labor, suffering, crosses, and humiliations for his sake. Our holy patron, St. Francis de Sales, tells us in one of his letters, "Let us come close to the crib. If you love riches, you will find the gold that the kings brought. If you are looking for the smoke of honors, you will find that in the incense. And if you take delight in the delicacy of the senses, you will find the delicate perfume of myrrh that pervades the stable. Be rich in love for this adorable Savior, respectful in the familiarity with which you relate to him, and delight in the joy of experiencing in your soul so many inspirations and affections, because you belong to him." Further, he writes, "If Mary's divine son had been born, lived and died only for the just, then I, knowing myself so unworthy, would not dare ask for mercy. And if I did dare, she could answer me, 'Wretch, I feel sorry for you, but I cannot do anything for you.' But no. She knows that more than for the just, her son came to call sinners. The motive and the end of the incarnation was to save sinners. Holy Church teaches that for our salvation, he came down from heaven. Mary knows that the dying Jesus constituted her the mother of everyone. She knows with a mother's love the needs of those children who are weaker, more infirmed, and in more need of care. She knows our hearts and the storms that trouble them. She is that beacon of hope that will lead us through the troubles that we face and guide us ever so tenderly to her beloved Son. Our Lady, who saw all these things and pondered them in her heart over 2,000 years ago, let us not hesitate to turn to ask her help in choosing appropriate gifts for our Lord at the occasion of his birth. O Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.